This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Yeah. Ben and Woods, 97.3, The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Wednesday that feels... I mean, it's been the longest two-day week so far, Benjamin. It has been long, draggy. What happens when the bats are dead asleep? Just boring. Boring. We are back in that mode right now. It's Ben and Woods. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's our executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Padres lost again last night. A 1-0 shutout. Just the worst of the worst. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Benjamin, how are you, sir?
A little less friendly than usual.
Yeah, today. A little bit. Yeah. Are you okay?
No, everyone's wearing me out about good luck to the Pirates. I didn't say it. It wasn't me who said it.
Well, if you don't believe in things like that, why does it bother you?
It's not that that bothers me. It's everybody wearing me out constantly about it. In the chat.
Good luck to the Pirates.
Social media.
Yeah, clearly, it doesn't bother you.
Sorry you're unbothered. I enjoyed the Padres sweeping the Minnesota Twins and playing well. I will never enjoy another Padres victory again, if that makes you happy.
Dan, good luck to the Pirates.
I told you this would happen. You give me no credit. Zero.
Does it ever end, though? Or are they doomed to lose, like, every game the rest of the season?
Well, it depends.
Is it going to next season? When does it stop? I'd like to know.
Probably when our owners stop saying, oh, we haven't lost yet. And when our radio hosts aren't like...
I remember the days.
Probably when our radio hosts aren't like, good luck to the Pirates. Right? Probably then.
The curse of the Minnesota Twins broadcasters.
That's right. Oh, yeah, we're dead. We're going to lose every game of the rest of the year. Are you kidding?
Dan, good luck to the Pirates.
It's crazy, man. You can't cover baseball for this long and be like, I never heard of this. It's the baseball gods. We've angered them. We continue to anger them. And it happens all the time.
By what? Playing well?
Beating our chest. Yeah. Yeah. Counting our chickens before they are hatched. Is that right? Does that make sense?
I wasn't even being predictive. I was just simply saying I really enjoyed how the Padres played against the Minnesota Twins.
The best part was he didn't say it.
If I had come on the air and went, good luck to the Pirates this series.
Which
I would never do. I would never do that.
Which, by the way, shows do all the time. I mean, all the time.
Of course.
You see it. Oh, now we got the so-and-so coming in. Good luck to you guys. And
they go get probably done it
We've
before.
Probably done come it, on. Too. Well, we used to. Again, the chest beating.
Dan, good luck to the Pirates.
The chest beating is just something you can't do. It's just something you can't do.
In baseball, it's so true.
Until the last out of the last game.
Right.
Then you could be like, oh my God, I knew it. Nobody's better than us.
I mean, for instance, do you think there was a Cubs fan who in the seventh inning last night against the Diamondbacks, after their team had scored 30 unanswered runs, probably said, man, these Cubs are looking pretty good. And then two innings later, they have lost on a walk-off pinch-hit home run.
Good luck to the Diamondbacks.
Which, of course, hurts the Padres because they lose a game in the standings and are only one up on the Diamondbacks. They had scored 30 in a row, and they lost.
How about this? Dominic nails this. I forgot about this. Remember when Soto, when we had him here, said, good luck to the pitchers in the league. I mean, yes, you were like the best Padre, but you still weren't that great here. You were great, but you weren't Juan Soto great. Good luck to the pitcher.
Apparently, wishing good luck to other teams actually does give them good luck.
It does.
Good luck to the Pirates. Well, pretty lucky that Mason Miller threw a changeup last night as opposed to, one of his unhittable pitches.
You're off the hook because Miscellaneous says, I blame Woods because he put it in everyone's head that it was a bad thing. Fair.
It's a good point.
Fair. I'm not the one that came in and go, hey, we should play this today on Do This.
Dan, good luck to the Pirates.
You highlighted it. I just said, hey, that wasn't real bright. That wasn't real bright. It happens. So, I mean, sometimes you have to wear stuff. I agree.
LeBron James went up and predicted like seven straight championships when he went to Miami.
Not two.
Not three.
Not three.
Not four. Not five. Not six.
Baseball gods are real for sure. They just really are. They really are.
Which is why the Dodgers win, because their fan base never does anything to embarrass their team. They're the perfect fans, right, Woods? That's why the baseball gods love the Dodgers so much.
No, when you sell your soul, you're infallible.
Yeah.
It's a curse.
When you go down to the crossroads in Mississippi and say, all right, I'm going to sell my soul. It's infallible. You can rap. You can deep throat beers on camera. You can do all kinds of. You can beat the S out of each other in your stadium. You can do whatever you want, and they're infallible. So yeah, until we get one, you know, we just have to be careful. That's it. We just got to be careful. And you seem like you need a little bit. Yeah, Ben. All right. Good question. Ben, how would you feel if someone said, hey, good luck making that putt as you're standing over one?
I would roll the putt right in. Thank you for the well wishes.
My ass.
Yeah, right.
No. Now, listen, you're a bit of a nervous purvis. I get it. I am, too. So I don't want anybody. I want to be a little bit more understated, I think, which is funny coming from me. But it's true, especially in baseball. It's like the one thing where I'm like, you don't see me on. Paul, you play baseball with me 100 times. Mm-hmm. You ever see me run my mouth ever?
No,
never,
not really.
Never once. Never.
I ran my mouth way more than you
never
did.
Never want to play by me. Like, you know, never. I'm like, bro, I'm not.
In defense of yourself, I thought you meant like running mouth, like talking to the other team.
Oh, no, I have to get chirpy. But yeah, chirpy. You've never seen me like, yeah, that's
no,
right.
No,
never.
We were not that good.
Never.
And again,
we were not that confident.
As unsuperstitious as I am, if Craig Stammen in his post-game news conference on Sunday had said,
good luck
to the Pirates come in, even I would have gone, Craig, you know,
dude,
better than that. That's a mistake.
I would have dug a hole and crawled inside of it.
And even if a Padres fan said it, I would have gone, slow down a little bit. We know this is baseball. Anything all can right happen. It was because the other team.
Yeah, you loved it.
Their
you
broadcaster did said it. I felt like, all right, the rules don't apply there. It was not any Padre beating their chest about this. It was someone else tipping their cap to the Padres, and I enjoyed that.
And I felt
like I was allowed to finally enjoy that without feeling like there should be any consequences because it wasn't us that said it.
It's gone great so far. So far, so good on your feeling.
Should we get that Minnesota Twins announcer on the show, Paulie, to discuss what he has done to our team?
No, because nobody would have known about it had you not highlighted it. That's my main point. No one would have known it existed. You could have.
So the crime is amplification,
correct,
simply?
Correct. You could have just reveled in it yourself and just done your little funny laugh, your little all day long.
I mean, he found the clip because it had gone viral. It's not like Ben was watching the Twins broadcast and goes, hey, we got to go out and pull this audio.
I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it. It was new to me. Mm. And I see the end of the internet, Paulie. I don't know how viral it went.
We had people in the chat saying, you got to play the Twins broadcast. Got to play the Twins broadcast.
You don't. Well, we need a meditation.
Okay.
All right, so hang on.
Kill the lights.
We got a reset in here. Let me find a good one here. All right, you ready? Deep breath. In six, out six. Ready, go. Repeat after me. I am still learning, so it's okay to make mistakes.
I am still learning, so it is okay to make mistakes.
That's our daily affirmation. I'm still learning, so it's okay to make mistakes.
Are we nipping this in the bud? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I'm done.
If we had done this after the first, 13 innings of the 24 scoreless, would we have been fine? Do we need earlier affirmations, perhaps?
Might have worked. Ray says, wait, when meditation started, didn't we start losing? Yes. You can spin yourself out about all of this. It was ugly, though. Last night was an ugly, fugly loss. 1-0. You know, normally, like, oh, hell yeah, 1-0, man. Pitcher's duel. If you're on the other end of it, it's great. They didn't hit a home run off of your all-world, incredible, sweet angel, baby-face Mason Miller.
This is birthday week.
Night. Birthday week. Man. Listen, it was bound to happen. I said it in May. Like, guys, it's going
to
happen.
It wasn't just bound to happen. It was going to happen eventually.
That's what bound to happen means.
That's a good point. Yeah. Bound means, like, there's a good chance that it's going to happen. It was definitely going to happen.
Bound to happen.
Yeah. That was definitely going to happen.
You need another meditation because... Wait. Am I insane here?
So you don't think there's a difference? Hang on. Shut up.
Stop.
I want to go back.
Right, sometimes when you say it's bound to happen, but it doesn't actually happen, right?
What did you say?
It's definitely going to happen. It was definitely going
to
happen.
That means it's going to happen. It was bound to happen.
Yeah. That means it's really likely to happen.
That's what you just said. No, it was going to happen.
It's definitely going to happen. Mason Miller was definitely going to get a home run.
Bound to happen means it's happening. I can't tell you when, but it's happening.
It's happening.
Probably going to happen means it couldn't. But
this is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what the gist I was trying to get across is that it was definitely going to happen at some point, and it did, and we knew it would.
No, it was definitely going to happen.
Oh, sorry. It was definitely going to happen at some point. And it was, and I said, it's going to be jarring when it does. And boy, was it jarring when it happened. When he hit it, I went, that's gone.
It was jarring to Mason Miller. Did you see his reaction?
Like,
whoa.
It's like, imagine being so good. You're so good all year that you're like, yeah, it's damn near September. And that's the first time that's happened in over a
year. And it took the guy with essentially the greatest bat speed
of all time,
in baseball history on a completely idiotic changeup to actually do it, but it happened.
Yeah, Dub says, I'll take only one home run per year. Yeah, right.
Of course.
Yeah,
right.
You go into the season, your closer's going to give up one bomb in the first 6 months of the season. You're going to be fine. So, yeah, it went out in a hurry. It absolutely did.
DFA him today?
No.
Okay.
Keep Mason. No, just maybe rest him today.
Yeah.
That was a big bone of contention last night. We'll talk about all of that and then some. But, yeah, I mean, I guess we can talk about what went down last night and what we're working on this morning. So as soon as I left, I had homework, and I went and listened to the Jeff Passan
interview. Sources tell Jeff Passan.
Now, we played a clip of it on the air yesterday. We praised said clip. Jeff did a very thorough and good job. It was as good of a podcast about insurance as there could be.
I watched it as well at my house yesterday. I zoned out for a few chunks.
There's a chunk or two where you're like, oh my God, annuities.
It's a lot of terminology and stuff that's way above my head. But the guy that he did the podcast with, the interview,
he did
a really, really good job of kind of explaining what's going on and in kind of in layman's terms as well.
We've had this conversation.
You could have Flo, Professor Nathaniel Burke, and Dennis Haysbert doing a podcast about insurance. It wouldn't have been as good as Jeff Passan's. You know, the spokespeople for insurance.
Oh, Flo
from Progressive.
I mean,
J.K.
Right
Simmons is Professor Burke, and Dennis Haysbert from Allstate. Put them all together. They would have done as good of a job as Jeff Passan did.
We've talked before. I've said on this program many times, I don't understand insurance. I understand the concept of it.
You have said it like 100 times.
It's weird that I was handed this homework assignment yesterday and not you. But I go, I'm going to listen to this, and I want to see what he says. And, you know, I understand the concept of insurance. I'm going to give you money. You're going to hold it for me until I need it for something. Okay? What you do with that money, I'm going to trust you with that money. I'm going to trust that you're not going to put it up your nose or go buy a new Lamborghini with it. Because if something happens to my knee, I'm going to need some of that money back. I don't really understand deductibles, still how that works, but that's beside the point. So they start talking about this, and what I was really fascinated to learn is that all of this started 12 years ago. 12 years ago, there was a case filed by a couple of policyholders, pretty innocuous, saying, hey, we have a feeling or we have some proof that you, Mark Walter, investor from Chicago, have taken our annuities that we paid you every year. And you're using
premiums.
You're taking those and you are using them to buy other businesses of which we don't see a dime from. Mm-hmm. Like
you're investing our money.
You took my $100, you turned it into $10,000. What do I get back?
Which you are. It's not illegal to invest that money and let it grow while you're holding on to it before you pay it back to
but
your
it's how
policy
you use
holders.
The money.
You can't use it on your own businesses.
Correct.
Is what the law states.
But the interesting thing is, so these two women filed this this claim, and it was, go figure, settled out of court. So then what happened was, instead of going, hey guys, we dodged a bullet here with this. Like, we can't do this. They doubled down, they tripled down, they quadrupled down, they quintupled down. And this became their new cash machine, policy holders. The guy he had on, and I will get his name because there's a chance we talked to Jeff Passan about this today. I was texting with Jeff Passan last night. Paulie was texting with Jeff Passan last night.
I think Jeff's going to come on. Jeff is afraid he's going to get attacked. I'm not going to attack him. And I said, I don't attack you. I said, I did find it funny, and I do find it interesting, and I will ask him about this. Is there anything you would have done differently, knowing what you know now about how the Dodgers were purchased for $2.15 billion years ago? Because Jeff has told us, and Jeff has put it in writing many, many times on Twitter, things to the... Again, splitting hairs, he's like, I never said that every team can do this. I said every team should do this. Should every team's owner have robbed little old ladies from their insurance premiums and used them for their own personal gain? I think Jeff would say that that's not the, that shouldn't be the case. I thought he did a great job. I think he, I always think he does a great job. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm not going to attack Jeff Passan at all. I like Jeff a lot. I think he's great. So we got in a we were texting a little bit about it last night, and I told him, I just said, look, the Padre fan in general, of which he called me the what did he call me?
I got to pull it up.
He called me.
It was
me
pretty
like,
good.
It was great.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I might put it in my Twitter bio. San Diego's concierge
and
the proxy.
The proxy. The proxy.
The proxy of, like, the madmen, like the lunatic Padre fans. You won't, like, you don't like calling, there's a fundamental difference in Ben and I, you and I, right? Like, you won't call out a reporter because I feel like you're a reporter. I will. I have no problem with it. I think they're, most of them are egomaniacs. I think they know everything. Jeff... And I would tell Jeff this on the phone. I think some of your tweets over the last few years, specifically in regards to the Dodgers, have been over the top and ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I told him that. I said, I have a problem with guys that carry the water for the Dodgers, including you. I said it in my text. You saw it. You know, I said, every move they make is infallible. It's brilliant. It's savvy. It's slick. It's smart. Every move we make is garbage. We can't sustain it. And he's not, he gets lumped in sometimes with the Rosenthals of the world, but I think he's great at what he does. I think he's phenomenal.
I think
he
might
does.
Be the best.
I think he's the best
ever done it.
Yeah.
As a baseball insider. And I think he is one of the good guys in the industry as well. So I feel a little bit bad that he feels attacked by our fan base here in San Diego.
So that's the thing that also bothered me is he said, you know, I wanted to put this thing out to like address it. He said, and then Padre fans, you know, told me I suck. And I'm going to tell them today, if you think it's just Padre fans, I don't know, man. There's Dodger fatigue across this country in a huge way. A huge way. I think 29 other fan bases are tired of being told, hey, man, you can do this. And he does admit what we've all known and said for years that, yeah, their TV deal makes it literally impossible to do what they do. If you're another team, it makes it literally impossible. And he admits that. But that's the first time he's really admitted that. So
it's been my argument.
It's been everybody's argument.
Right, of course.
It's nobody's. It's
the argument.
It's the argument. It's been the argument. So I thought it was really well done. I thought the guy he had on, this guy is as passionate
Tom
about.
Tom Gober. That's what McKee says in the chat was his name.
So Tom has spent 40 years as a forensic analyst, an insurance analyst for years, digging into corporate malfeasance, corporate oversights, if you will. He's so passionate about protecting the policyholder. Like, that's his daughter.
It sounds extremely fascinating and also extremely boring at the same time.
I mean, I could see myself drooling on the paper at my desk at work. Woodsy, I need you to go through these files and see what you find. I'd be like, what? I mean, bro, there's no way. So his daughter was actually in the comment section of Jeff's podcast and said, thank you so much for having my dad on. He has dedicated his life to protecting policyholders across this country. Wow. It is his greatest passion.
It's awesome.
It was great.
And it's, I think what is difficult to grasp in this story, it's like with a guy like Bernie Madoff, when you're taking other people's money and you're spending it on yourself, we all know eventually the bill will come due.
Sure.
They'll find out about it. What Mark Walter did is he actually successfully did all of his crimes.
Correct.
There's plenty of money to go around.
Plenty
at the end.
Of money.
Well, he made so much money.
Except for him. This is the weird part. He owes money, and he owes, and again, Jeff says between 21 and 24 billion dollars by December 31st. That is a huge hole. Jeff doesn't, and I'll ask him too, okay, let's say Mark Walter sells the team today, has to. Like, I owe $21 billion, man. I'm going to have to sell my 27% share in this team. What happens to the Dodgers then? I think the train keeps a rolling. I really do. I don't think there's anything.
I think if there's a season next year, they're the favorites to win a fourth straight World Series.
And I think they'll re-sign Scooble and, yeah, you know, go get who they need to get. I do.
Regardless of who's owning the team.
Correct. So, but Mark Walter, again, the thing that was so utterly fascinating to me is like, hey, man, Ben, you got busted for armed robbery in, you know, 15 years ago. You decided, all right, that sucked. I paid to make it go away. I'm going to armed robber so hard and so fast now and so many times that I don't care. It was the open kind of brazenness is the word, the lack of really care or responsibility for all those policyholders. There's some really underhanded shell companies that they, typical Dodgers fashion, they named it, like one of them's called Dodgers Tickets. It's right, like it's really, really interesting as far
totally
as
legal money.
Not a shell company incorporated. So Jeff may come on today. I hope that he does. I will not attack him.
It was weird.
I ask the tier ones, do not attack Jeff Passan. Please. Yeah. He is one of the good ones. I do feel that way.
You read us something that Bob Nightingale, another national insider, yeah, wrote, and it was, I would say it's infuriating, but I'm kind of immune to it at this point. Like, Bob Nightingale has some grudge against the Padres.
It's so funny.
I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but you can, like, clearly see it in his reporting.
Yeah, there's, like, a little bit of a knife.
Yeah, totally unnecessary digs.
Jeff Passan did tell Padres fans, if you don't want to be a little brother, stop acting like one. Sometimes little brother gets tired of big brother, and little brother knows big brother has been taking money out of mom's purse. He knows it. He knows it. He knows that big brother, his allowance is $100. He knows his allowance is $3. And that doesn't feel right to little brother. And little brother gets pissed. So I think, you know, Jeff has had his issues with Padres fans. Padres fans have had his issues with Jeff. But Jeff is fantastic at what he does. He is. Somebody made the really brilliant point yesterday, and I think they're right. I don't know anymore if anyone wants an actual sports journalist. Because you think about Pablo Torre and the Clippers. He had dead to rights, receipts, the whole thing. People were like, exonerated, because Adam Silver was like, oh, we didn't find anything to protect Steve Ballmer.
Right.
Major League Baseball, we know, have protected the Dodgers. We know that there are rules that they skirt as far as the IL goes, potentially with deferrals for $1 billion. Like, that's not something every team's allowed to do. We know that. Nobody wants to hear it. If you report on it and in a favorable light, that means you're a shill. Nobody wants sports journalism anymore. They want Pat McAfee. They want us. They want us coming in and talking about it.
Is there any national insider or writer that people like?
I thought Jeff Passan was probably the most liked.
Well, everybody hates Rosenthal. We know why. Just told you why Bob Nightingale sucks. John Heyman, he's going to never live down Arson Judge, but he's whatever. Yeah. Who else is out there? Like, it's
Jake and Jordan do pretty good. I mean, they do pretty well. They write good stories.
Yeah, unless they write one positive Dodger story, then it's, they suck.
I do think, though, there's always going to be that thought that anyone who covers baseball is going to protect baseball to a certain extent.
Correct.
Let's say, you know, Jeff Passan has a scoop that's so big that it might take down the entire league. Like, Major League Baseball goes away. Now, what do you do with that?
You have to run it.
You have to run it.
Are you a journalist or are you not?
Okay, but now
that's
my
like
entire...
Adam Schefter and Kyle Shanahan.
Right, but now my entire career is gone because my career is covering Major League Baseball, and I have torched the whole thing with this
Ben,
story.
That's journalism.
It's, and I know today, it is.
What about the guys that... You're protected, what about though. Woodward and Bernstein? Are they like, do we want to bring down the president of the United States? This is bigger than baseball.
But they know there's going to be another president after that. Like, if you really
took
down baseball...
But we know baseball's going away.
Probably not.
I mean, what would it have to be to make baseball go away entirely, right? Like, I do think...
But no one wants to destroy baseball that is put their entire life into baseball.
Evan Drellick. That's it. David J. Evan Drellick. He's the guy. Like he's the him and
he doesn't.
I do put Jeff in there. I did. Yeah. I did, and I do think it's gotten out.
I've always viewed them different. Like Drellick doesn't get a lot of like, hey, I'm hearing the Twins are shopping so and so or whatever. But it's he's the guy that like you don't want him investigating into your team.
Astros fans don't like Evan Drellick.
Right.
They don't like Evan Drellick.
No team wants. You should hate Evan Drellick because you don't want him anywhere near your organization.
I think he's fantastic. I think he's fantastic. I thought the podcast is great, and I told Jeff in a text. If you come on, if you don't, I don't care.
Well, he said sure.
Yeah,
his first text back to me, my first text, hey, would you like to come on tomorrow? We'd love to have you on. It wasn't even about the podcast. It was barely about the podcast. I was like, we'd love to have you on to talk about Padres ownership, the wild card race, et cetera.
Oh, I wanted to talk about that.
And I said, and the podcast that we played a clip of this morning. And he goes, sure. And then he says, do I need to like prepare to be attacked or anything?
Yeah, be attacked. I go, I would never attack you. I'm going to bust your balls.
And then it kind of unraveled from there. But he said, sure. And then we never confirmed like a time. So I don't know.
Why is he allowed to bomb atomically and I'm not? And he does like crazy. It's in his bio. I bomb atomically. He will go after guys, their personal appearance. I'm like, Jeff, I bust your balls, but I'm not mean. But I did bust your balls while you and Ken and all those guys disappeared in the middle of the pennant race. It does give the impression that you guys are at Chavez Ravine going, all right, so how do we spin this, right? It did it not? It's weird. It was weird.
But he did deliver in the end.
He absolutely did.
He delivered in the end.
Absolutely did.
All right, you ready to get started here?
I thought we just did.
We did. We will take a quick timeout. We will come back. We will talk about the decisions of the 1-0 loss to the Pirates yesterday as the Padres continue a offensive slump at a very inopportune time on the schedule. And we will set the menu for the rest of what we've got on a Big League Wednesday as well. Broadcasting live from our Bill House studios, we know how. It's Ben and Woods on a Wednesday on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ben and Woods brought to you by David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. We have a busy show, but something, you know, still a little up in the air as we don't know exactly when or if Jeff Passan may be joining us.
I sure hope he does.
He but told that me would be yes. Fun. He told Woods yes.
Yes, he goes, we'll talk tomorrow. But he was going to rip me in a text and he said he deleted it, but it was cathartic.
I guess I'll...
You ever do that? Just write out a mean text?
Aren't you dying to know what it said?
No.
You can live without knowing.
I don't
knowing.
Feel like I've done anything wrong to Jeff Passan. I really don't.
Like you're going to go to bed knowing.
I don't think I've done anything. If I did something mean or like said something mean, I haven't said anything mean to him.
It would be both horrifying but kind of cool too. Somewhat of Jeff Passan's stature.
It was pretty cool texting like crafting, him last night. I can't crafting. Deny.
Yeah, is it kind of like when you are the victim of an insult comedian, like who's working the crowd?
Yes,
like someone
and he goes and gets you,
and they get you.
Jeff Garland got me one night.
Really?
Yeah, dude. Hannah was pregnant with Bo at the time, and Jeff. I was filling in across the street. I was on KGB for like a week, and I was just doing mornings. And they're like, hey, Jeff Garland's coming in to promote his thing, and I'm like, oh my god, I love Curb. I love Jeff Garland. He came in. We had a good interview. He's a baseball fan, so we talked Cubs and baseball. And so that night, he's like, you coming to the show? I'm like, bro, we wouldn't have missed it. We love Curb. So we come in, we sit down front row, and Hannah was pregnant, like pretty pregnant. You could tell she was pregnant. And he spent 40 minutes, like, just torching me. Like, torching me. How'd you get that girl? Like, just crushing me. And I was like, this is the greatest. I thought it was so cool. I don't know. Like, I really like Jeff. That's the bummer. I just bust everybody's balls. And I get my balls busted. That's the other thing, is I can take it as well. And so I'm like, this is just kind of in good, clean fun. Yeah, I haven't said anything personal.
No, and I think if Jeff Passan was a tier one and listened to the show every day, he would totally get it.
He would know that. Yeah.
He would totally get it. He's a guy who you feel like he gets it. You know, he understands, but...
Ken Rosenthal probably wouldn't like this show.
But out of context, all you see is a one or two tweets and people reacting to them
correct.
Harshly. That's... You're gonna assume, okay, this guy is just railing on me on the radio in San Diego and I have no idea what's going on.
That's not it.
Which is not the case.
That's not the
case.
No,
but he looks at all the people that are like, F you moron, and then it's like followed by Woods.
No, it's not that. If they're on my comment, I think he has the thing of like, oh, you just brought all these hornets to me, and you unleashed them. Like, I was holding a bag of hornets. I was like, No, dude. Like, I literally sent out a GIF that said, well, look who decided to show up. That's my personality. It's a sardonic, sarcastic personality. It wasn't mean. I wasn't like, finally, this P word decides to step up and blah, blah, right? Like, I just was like, wow, look who just, it's just sarcastic. And he's like the most sarcastic dude on the planet. Now, somebody said in the chat, it's wild that he's so sensitive being a national writer. That's not wild to me at all. That would suck. He had a crap day yesterday. I mean, he got community noted, had to delete a tweet. It's one of those days where you got the main character. I've been the main character before, and it sucks, dude. You want to throw your phone into the ocean and walk away and never come back.
Yeah, but you have, I mean, when you're a national guy national, like that,
he's got millions.
30 fan bases, right, that hate you. Well, 29 fan bases that hate you because of your coverage.
So he's, I think he's awesome. I always have, and I've always said that. So I certainly would not attack him. I want to dig deeper into to what he learned and how he learned it. I think I could do an hour with him, and I wouldn't blink.
So Jeff Passan, TBD on our SDCCU fan hotline. It's not Big Bang Banking. It is
better. We're going to shoot for 840.
That would be
plan.
Ideal, given our schedule, because it is a Big League Wednesday. And Brett Boone will join us at 740 for our weekly conversation. We'll talk a little bit more about the Ketel Marte story in Arizona, which he was covering on his podcast this week. And apparently, Brett Boone is also going to be our guest tomorrow on the Epic Wings, Epic Padres roundtable, so from 9 to 10 commercial free.
You tell me we're double dipping Booney?
We got a lot of Booney this week.
So much Booney.
Outside of that, we'll have our regular features, talk some Padres baseball. We'll give you an update on Nick Pivetta's rehab start last night for Lake Elsinore coming up at 7:25. It's Don't Do This. 8 o'clock, maybe at the reset. We certainly owe a big shout out to her family. A legend, of course, lost yesterday. Everybody was talking about it.
I mean, do we even need to wait?
I say we get to it.
Let's
that
just
was,
say we do
That
it.
Was worldwide news.
I just want to make sure that we have time to talk about it. We can do the shout-out now and then talk about her later as well.
We've got, if my math serves, we've got 3 hours and 18 minutes.
Correct. But in the next 10 minutes, we need to get to traffic and a Padres crap-up that's sponsored. So just keep that calculus in your mind.
Rest in peace. Shout out to her family, to the great, the unrivaled, sweetest angel of all time, 80 years old.
Like actually.
Actual sweetest angel, the best of humanity that exists. Dolly Parton passed away yesterday.
This is BBC News. We're interrupting our schedules for the following announcement. Buckingham Palace has announced the death of Her Majesty.
Really was Her Majesty. She's
literally Her Majesty.
Just the best.
She's like, she was impossibly nice.
Impossibly. Like, you're a nice guy.
Oh.
But you're not that nice.
No, not even close.
There was a story, and I know we have to get to the sponsored crap up. I'm delaying it because it sucks. But
they were probably pretty short.
It's
actually
not going to take long
about
long.
It. There was one offensive highlight the entire
game. Was it the leadoff double?
No, the one home run.
Oh, no, I was going to say for us. Game. The leadoff double? Us,
really. No Padres highlights today.
There was a story about somebody was worked for like a concert venue, and a fan showed up at like down in the bowels of the concert venue and said, I'm dying. I have terminal cancer, and my lifelong dream is to meet Dolly Parton. So this lady said, okay, hang on, I'll see what I can do. Knocks on the dressing room door. Dolly's assistant answered. Hi, I'm so sorry to bother you guys before the show. This person is down there. They're saying that they have terminal cancer. And the assistant rolled her eyes, like, oh, yeah, we've heard this shtick before. And Dolly's like, I'll go. And she's like, you don't have to go. It's probably BS. And she's like, no, kindness is always the way. She went down, met this person. Don't know if they did or not. But went down and met her, and I went, holy cow. I mean, that's one of a gazillion stories about the things that she did. Good. She always did good.
I saw so many stories that I hadn't ever heard yesterday. I loved her talking about her look, obviously. Signature, yeah. The big...
Whoa,
hair, the
whoa,
rhinestones.
Whoa, whoa, you hair. Scared me to death.
The big hair. She said growing up, there was a woman in town. She said basically, I didn't know it, but she was like the town floozy who dressed like that. And everyone always, everyone always criticized her. Oh, that's, you know, so-and-so. And Dolly said, I just thought she was the most beautiful with the big hair. And her mom said, that woman, she's trash. And Dolly said, well, when I grow up, I want to be trash.
I want to be trash, too. Incredible.
I saw this morning when I got in the prep service, put together a little montage. No, like a good one. It's got just some clips of
Dolly Parton's gone today. Like,
nothing original.
No, okay, thank God.
It's actually Dolly Parton. But the first part of it is her, like one of her first appearances ever. She's a teenager, just a young girl.
Yeah. Here's a little gal that I know you're going to really learn to love. She ain't no dumb blonde, though. Pretty Miss Dolly Parton.
Just because I'm blonde, don't think I'm dumb. Cause this dumb blonde ain't nobody's fool. Jolene, 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 Jolene.
Well, both songs written in the same night.
The same 24-hour period.
Thank you, Kenny.
Oh, Kenny Rogers, too, man.
You are now and forever a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame.
So 80s, that song.
Oh, I got like chills.
So 80s, dude.
She was so good.
Oh, when we were kids, man, that everybody loved her. Like, the hoods liked Dolly Parton. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the greasers and the socias. Oh, they all liked Dolly Parton back then. Everybody. My dad loved her. My mom loved her. Everybody loved Dolly Parton. Everybody. My uncles loved her. Like, it just, she was universally loved. They said she was, they did a poll. The most liked human beings on Earth. She was number one.
Yeah.
Number one, as far as this poll goes. 65% was the highest, and she got 65%.
Amazing.
It's such a loss. So the world is worse for it today, certainly.
100%. Yep. And you say, you know, 80 years old. I will say, only 80. I mean, she had plenty. You would
she
hope.
Looked. She looked and sounded, you know, very...
It was confirmed she did have a recent fight with cancer.
I hate it so much.
There were some stories about her health in the last year or so that had come out.
She had been keeping it pretty quiet, though, but she passed away yesterday at a hospital in Nashville.
Sad.
Or a cancer center.
Super sad, man. Well, shout out to her family. We love you, Dolly. Mm.
All right, we're going to check traffic, and then we will come back with our Padres wrap-up, which will be about Paul Skeens.
Paul Skeens. I'm begging of you, please don't find your velo.
Next year on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem. Problem.
Dan, good luck to the Pirates.
How did things play out in yesterday's game?
Supremely stupid.
It's time for the Padres wrap-up with Ben and Woods. Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Hey, player, here's something to cheer you up. The rooftop pool's open, day passes are available, and the spa is calling your name. Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt, and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
This game has got to come to an end.
Miller delivers, and that's launched in the air, deep down the right field line, and gone, a home run for the first time this year. Mason Miller gives up a homer, and O'Neill Cruz has put the first run of the night on the board, 1-0 here in the ninth.
He's human, you know, it's part of the gig when you're pitching. Every once in a while, someone's going to get you. Last I checked, no one's gone a full 162 season without giving up a run, and, you know, every once in a while it's going to happen. Unfortunately, tonight, you know, it was one of those games where it's a tie ball game and cost us.
What you take away from this game then probably is Michael and then the offense again, struggling against pretty good pitching, starting pitching.
Yeah, really good pitching. I mean, they definitely upgraded their bullpen. Their bullpen's pretty nasty. And, you know, we faced the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner tonight who had been struggling a little bit, but was definitely back on his game today. So, you know, a lot of tough pitching we faced the last 2 days. We haven't been able to break through. We had a few guys in scoring position. You know, Toddy led off the game with that double, and we just weren't able to move him around. So we've got to be able to take advantage of those, you know, not as many opportunities as best we can in games like this with such good pitching on the other side. And, you know, hopefully we can get that done tomorrow.
Got to have it, man. Got to have it. Cannot get swept.
More than a few guys in scoring position. Padres went 1-for-19 the last 2 days with runners in scoring position.
That is brutal.
Tough to put a lot of offense together when you go through a stretch like that.
Yeah, you can go up and down the lineup, man, you know, but it's the usual suspects, right? If Manny's not hitting and if Jackson's not hitting, Toddy got that double and was stranded at first, you know, because of, you know, Crony wasn't able to move him over, Manny wasn't able to get him in. Manny's dying right now. He's had 2 extra base hits in August.
It's a concern, you know.
Yeah,
hopefully there's still time for him to get right and healthy and go on one more Manny stretch, but it's a problem right now.
It's a huge problem, and you know, you have to have production from your three-hole hitter. You just do. There's your opportunity in the first to get on Paul Skeens with a lazy single to right field, gets the job done. You know, Jackson is scuffling right now again. It's just this kind of can't stay super consistent with his swing, swinging at bad pitches again. You're pressing right now. The offense is pressing. They're not doing enough. They had been doing a really, really great job. But now, man, yeah, you can't, you know, you're going to end up, you've lost the series to the Mets. You've lost the series to the Pirates in the home stretch. It's brutal. It's brutal.
That being said, it feels like the Padres are flailing away. What, do they strike out 14? No, they start four times against Paul Skeens.
And, twice against Ashcraft, yeah, I think.
They put the ball in play the last 2 days and really had almost nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
You know, so some of that is a little bad BABIP luck. But you also feel like that they're not taking great swings at the same time.
It's such, the baseball's so weird. I mean, I've just had this conversation yesterday. Like, oh, man, you're not striking out a ton, but you're not making good contact. But I thought you wanted me to put the ball in play because good things happen.
How many times do we hear that? Put the ball in play and good things happen. Well, the Padres have put the ball in play the last 2 days, and almost nothing good has happened.
Let's adjudicate that. Let's amend it, right? Make hard contact in play, and good things will happen. And sometimes, you know, the funny thing is, you hit that little bleeder between first and third, knock, right? It's just a stupid
Fernando
game.
Fernando Tatis Jr. in a month and a half putting the ball in play hard and nothing good happened either.
It's very weird.
It is hard to crack the code of baseball.
It really is.
Padres cracked it for a while. They were on a roll. Now things are, as Craig Stammen promised, we're probably going to have another four-game losing streak at some point. Maybe this is the first two of the four.
Bilal said it. Not. Yeah. Yeah, Brian Lawrence said it when he was on the round table. Booney would say it. They all say it. They've been through it. Take their word over ours, certainly any day of the year, or any day of the week. But, yeah, man, you got to right the ship. You got to, you know, we got to get back to the San Diego Salvagers today because you have a very gnarly trip ahead. And you got to rise to that challenge as well.
I do want to at least address the people who said Mason Miller should not have been in the game last night.
That's crazy talk, man.
You certainly need to evaluate whether he felt like he was up to it. He said before the game to Craig Stammen, I've got an inning in me.
Give me the ball.
Your choices at that point, you know, based on the usage of everyone else. I mean, you want Griffin Canning in there in the ninth inning in the 0-0 game, or you want Mason Miller?
Somebody said, well, Adrian threw a six-pitch inning. And
Two
innings the day before. That's what I said. I go, and he goes, well, Mason pitched 30 the day before. And I go, okay, but like, when Mason Miller comes to you before the game and goes, I'm good. Like, if you need me, bro, there's not a coach or manager on the planet that wouldn't go, done. Like, you went to your guy, and he got. That's baseball in a nutshell.
And we'll never know. If he had just thrown all sliders to O'Neill Cruz, would it have been a 1-2-3 inning, and we wouldn't even be talking about this. 0-1.
0-1.
0-1. Change up.
Sped his bat up. And you know, you got 102, 103 in the tank. Just blow it by O'Neill Cruz. You can. But he dropped the head on it, hit it 113 miles an hour.
I mean, I can see how it's a good idea. This guy is going to be gearing up for 104, and I drop it down to 96, and he is going to swing
that's
right
96.
And he made a mistake. Yeah. And he acknowledged it. It's not like, Mason, you don't know what you're doing. He said, I was stupid. It was stupid pitch, bad execution.
He said, sometimes humans are stupid.
Yep, and he did. So. Yeah. We will come back, pay off our incorporator with Jesse Agler, and give you that Nick Pivetta update next on 97.3 The Fan.